Welcome to Real Career Talk. I'm your host, Phil Perquette. This is a monthly interview brought to you by the Network National, where we spend 30 minutes with internal and external experts discussing career hot topics. Those topics could include our 2021 talent development pillars, which are all about adaptability, mentoring, sponsorship, advocacy, continuous learning, and building relationships for you, your career, and your organization. Today, we are honored to have Jasmine Brett Stringer. She's a speaker, an award-winning author of Seize Your Life, How to Carpe Diem Every Day. Oprah Winfrey said that you are a carrier of the light. Why? Well, because she is most sought after for being a lifestyle expert who guides people in identifying their careers, in identifying their goals and achieving their personal definition of success. We're going to talk about that, hopefully, through her Seize Your Life workshops and seminars. She's the founder of the internationally recognized lifestyle brand Carpe Diem with Jasmine. She's been featured on a variety of media outlets, such as Oprah Winfrey's Network, Yahoo, MSN, The Huffington Post, and she's also a weekly lifestyle contributor to the Minneapolis local CBS television station, WCCO-TV. Welcome, Jasmine.
Thank you so much for having me, Phil. I had to take off the mute button because, you know, you're not on Zoom unless somebody's on mute.
You got that right. You know, yeah, how are we going to seize the day and you're on mute? That's going to be part of the next book. I'm just kidding. All right. Jasmine, welcome. We are honored to have you. Now, I got to say, there's a lot to be shared about your many accolades, your many accomplishments. But for the Network National audience, share something before we get started. Share something about you personally you want everyone to know.
So, you know, the holiday season is upon us, and one of my guilty holiday pleasures is that I love holiday movies. I especially enjoy Hallmark holiday movies. And so last December, I had the opportunity to be a extra with lines in a movie that was being filmed on spec. We were told it was being filmed on spec. Okay. With fingers and toes and eyes crossed that it was going to be sold to Hallmark. The movie was not sold to Hallmark. It was sold to another production company, and it's available on Roku. So now I guess I could add like actress to my accolades, maybe.
Bravo. Bravo, Jasmine.
Thank you.
Look at that actress. All right. Should we be expecting nominations, Oscars, all in your future? Hopefully, yes.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. But still, I want you to go out and watch it. I mean, you can watch it online. You can watch it on Roku, A Christmas Wish in Hudson. But it was fun. And you'll be like, oh, my God. But it was fun. You know, check.
Check. I like that.
It wasn't even on the bucket list, but it made it when I was doing it. So.
All right. That's good. Well, I got to tell you, I'll get my favorite cup of coffee. If my Real Career Talk folks out there remember my favorite cup of coffee brew and sit down and watch this wonderful experience with Jasmine Brett Stringer on Lifetime, probably. Okay, anyway, all right. Are we ready to get started? Are we ready to be powerful today, Jasmine?
I am ready to be powerful. We're going to seize it. We are going to seize the day and seize this conversation.
Let's have fun. All right, so starting out, so what was the moment, the pivotal moment for you that inspired you to write this book called Seize Your Day, one of the oldest philosophical models in Western history? What made you do it?
Well, Carpe Diem has actually been my mantra since I was in high school. And in my signature keynote talk, Seize Your Life, I talk about how every single day it has new meaning to me. I mean, like, every single day, there is an experience that comes up And I'm reminded that that's why we have to seize the day and we have to seize our lives. I think before the pandemic, so many people thought that we had to do these grandiose, over the top, wonderful, adventurous things, do it for the gram, do it for the hashtag, do it for Facebook. But I believe, and you've read the book, that really seizing your life and seizing the day is how we show up in those everyday moments. Mm-hmm. And I had the, what I call now the blessing in disguise of being laid off, which really launched my public speaking career. And when you're a speaker, you know, you need to have a book. A book is, you know, something that gives you credibility. And I was originally going to write about networking because that was easy. Everybody knows I'm the networking queen. I love one of your pillars about building relationships because it says that relationship building is reciprocal. And that's what networking should be. But really, when it came to writing Seize Your Life, it was once about adaptability because it's a mindset shift. And I wanted people to shift their thinking on what it means to seize the day and seize their lives.
Mm-hmm. Carpe diem, which means I think in Latin, seize the day, right? I think
right,
I
heard correct.
That, right? All right. So you talked about corporate America and how you were there and we had to make a pivot, right? So right. Sometimes corporate America might be, what are some of the things that are hindering us from being able to seize the moment, seize the day? Three things, what would they be?
I would say for most people, the things hindering them or from seizing their life is lack of vision. Everything begins with the vision that we have for our lives. And sometimes most people don't have a vision. I can ask people, what do you want for your life? And most people would say, oh, I could tell you what I don't want before I could tell you what I do want. And I find that people that are parents, they can tell you what they want for their children, but what they want for their life, they don't know. Another thing that prevents people from seizing their life is what I call a lack of belief. And that's belief in one's ability to achieve their vision, one's ability to achieve their goal. So we always hear this thing about imposter syndrome. You know how you get over imposter syndrome? You believe in yourself and you believe that you belong in the room. You believe that you belong at the table. You believe that you belong or deserve that title. So that's how you get over imposter syndrome. You believe in yourself. And then finally, fear. I know fear paralyzed me for so many times because I had that fear of failure, the fear of disappointing my family. When I was working in corporate, I knew I wanted to do something different. And, you know, everyone's like, girl, you got that good corporate job. What do you? I remember my grandmother telling me that when I left one company to go to another company, and she said, you've got that good corporate job, girl. What are you going to do? And I said, but Granny, I'm going to a better job. But that fear prevents us from seizing our life. So just to recap, we're going to have, you don't seize your life because you lack vision, you lack belief, and you're allowing fear to hold you back.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned fear, because one of the things that that you mentioned in your book is make peace with uncertainty. And that uncertainty can cause fear, the fear of the unknown, the fear of not knowing what's going to, some of us are controlling, right? Amen, somebody. Some of us are controlling.
Recovering, right?
Right. I got to know what's happening. I got to know, my son's like this. I got to know what's happening. I got it planned out. I got it organized. But, you know, in this day and time, nobody saw the pandemic happening. Nobody saw some of these things happening. Making peace with uncertainty. What are some of the benefits in doing so?
Well, I will say that we have gotten a master class or the opportunity to make peace with uncertainty the past 20 months. And you will see, I mean, we hear about, you know, I admit that I was beyond seasonally depressed this past winter, but we know that people's anxiety levels are high. People are worrying. There is this extreme uncertainty. But if you can take it on the day by day, I always like to say I'm on the day by day plan, you can create a sense of peace within yourself that allows you to show up and perform at an optimal level.
Mm-hmm. So making pieces, I want to continue on that. So let's talk about it from a lot of these conversations. Sometimes we start moving towards the gender specific type of conversations. Your audience, the network national audience, is obviously a combination of men and women. Are there differences that you have identified that come from men versus women, or vice versa, when it comes to being comfortable with uncertainty?
No, I mean, because I think a lot of people, I like to say that I'm a in recovery control addict. You said you were a control addict. So a lot of people have
that was this, hypothetical,
Jasmine. Sorry, it wasn't you. Well, I'll speak for myself as a person in active recovery from being a control addict. It is hard to deal with ambiguity and uncertainty. And even men, like my husband is a planner, and I'm like, I'll get along with a plan, but I like to say it's my prerogative to change the plan. And so, I see the same sense or need for control in men and females. So I can't say that there are any gender specific actions you can do, but all you can do is begin to practice on releasing that need to control or releasing that need to have all the details, I think the word, I know you want to ask me a question, but when we talk about, vision, I think the word how trips people up sometimes because they're like, oh, I have this great vision. I want to go to Harvard to go get my MBA, but how am I going to pay for it? Because, I'm working at AT&T. They only pay, I don't know what they pay. They pay 20% of the school. The tuition for me to get my MBA at Harvard is going to be $200,000. I don't have it. So they let that how float around and trip them up. And then they don't even apply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm so glad you said that last statement. They don't even apply. One of your other, I've been checking you out, Jasmine. I've been checking you out. One of the things that you stated was dabbling or experimenting. And then you said you got to start with action. Share with the audience what does that mean? Start with action.
I love this quote. And I can't remember who said it, but it's like sometimes your curiosity just might lead you to your passion. And I know that I am, you read my bio. I'm a multi-hyphenate. And now I said I'm adding actress to it. Wink, wink. But, we have different hobbies. We have different interests. And so we should be willing to experiment or, like I said in the book, dabble. I know in a big organization like AT&T, there's this thing called cross-functional. You work on a cross-functional team. You can take a cross-functional assignment. So that's a wonderful way for people to dabble professionally when they want to explore that curiosity of other skills and things that they may be good at.
Mm-hmm. So talking about limiting our potential, taking action as well. Personal development skills are important. Why? When it comes to seizing the day?
Personal development skills, a lot of times, they get this rep as soft skills or people skills. But personal development skills are important because we interact with people every single day in some shape or form. We may not be interacting with people, in real life. We might be interacting on a screen like we are now, electronically, on the telephone, via text message. But we have to know how to communicate with one another. That's like one of my top personal development skills. Stephen Covey said that it was important to sharpen the saw. You mentioned the pivot that I had to take in my life and my career. If I didn't have other skills, if I wasn't, keeping abreast of what I think I do well at and making sure that I'm attuned on, what are the latest social media trends? Because things are happening and things are changing on a daily basis. So we need to make sure that we are keeping ourselves informed and that we have the knowledge of what we claim our skills to be.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of skills, and understanding pivots and how they apply, especially today with uncertainty. We mentioned earlier the pandemic that is hitting us all, and in corporate realm, it's made us more virtual than ever before. With that said, some of us have gone exclusively virtual. Some of us probably will never return to corporate offices as it used to be. Talking about connecting, how does, with this virtual world in mind, how does someone connect meaningfully when it comes to seizing the day?
Yeah, I mean, so we were talking about this earlier too. The most important relationship a person has these days is their relationship with themselves.
Tell me more.
I'm going to say that again. The most important relationship you have and I have should be the relationship that we have with ourselves. So I think it was Lisa Jones, the comedian, who said, you know, everybody's baking and cooking all these things is because they can't stand to be with their thoughts. They're running from themselves. So they're like, they're, you know, signed up for all these virtual classes. They've gone through how many different cookbooks because they can't sit and be with themselves and their thoughts. And so that's the number one relationship I think the pandemic has allowed us to develop if we didn't already have a relationship with ourselves. And some people are continuously running from the chatter in our head, which, you know, it can be scary sometimes. I always say the mind is a dangerous place to hang out sometimes. You go around some blocks, some corners, you're like, oh, what's that thought? But then there are also, that's why you need to fill it up with, you know, affirmations and goodness and positivity. And then you can develop relationships. I mean, I'm loving this conversation that we're having here. I want to learn more about you. So I'm probably going to email you after this and say, hey, would you be open to a virtual coffee one day? You know, I have stayed in contact with some of my friends. In fact, I've reconnected with friends because I use apps like Marco Polo, where we can send like a quick video message to another. One of my favorite things to do is to walk, and I'll walk and talk in real life with people because I think being outside is a safe space. And even though I live in Minneapolis, you know, we'll bundle up and we'll walk. Or I'll walk and put my earbuds in and another friend will walk and, you know, I'll walk with a friend in California, but we're having this shared experience. And, you know, she might be walking by the beach and send a pretty picture and I'll send a picture of the fall leaves.
All of these are excellent points that you're making. Matter of fact, you wrote in your book, it's amazing the things that you notice when you aren't going through the motions and operating in the conscious realm. I think you're alluding to that now. If you were to elaborate on that real quick, what were you meaning the conscious realm?
You know, I think the conscious realm I meant is that the busyness of life, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, blessed many people with a pause. We slowed down. Now I would contend that we're moving at an even more frantic pace, and we're moving at that frantic pace from inside our homes. But we did have that moment, the pause. It's like I think I wrote this in the book because it amazes me every single time this happens. Like I ride by something daily, but then I ride by it as a passenger. And I see it because I'm not focused on the road. And it's like, well, it's something I could have seen as a driver because maybe it's a billboard, but my mind is in a different place. I'm not focused on the task at hand, focused on getting us from point or getting myself to point A to point B, that I'm able to take in what's around me.
It is a wonderful thing when you can look at the clouds and paint a picture. Or paint a message just from the visual of the clouds, hearing the sound of the water and how it sounds differently, maybe from the lake versus the ocean, being able to identify that rose petal and God's magnificence. Can we say that? Yes. God's magnificence in the moment. So being in that moment and being powerfully present is so important. I appreciate that. So we got about 10 minutes remaining, and I want to spend these last few moments. We've been, you know, tickling with the book a little, but now we're going to be intentional. And I have the master right present with us on network, and we're going to peel back some of the points that she made in the session. Can we do that, Jasmine? Do you mind?
Yes, yes, yes. And I just want to say, because you've mentioned the book, I want to make sure everybody knows the name of the book in case they want to order it after listening to this. Seize Your Life, How to Carpe Diem Every Day. It's available on Amazon, and I'm sure Phil might let you borrow his copy.
No, I won't. No. But go out there and get it. It's definitely available. Let's support our friend and sister Jasmine. All right, Jasmine, I want to peel back the onion, as my old director would say. You wrote in your book, Carpe Diem Guidelines, and some that were very important to me, and I think will be important to the audience. One of the things that you say, now I got to tell you, I love technology, but in your book you wrote, Be Still, Listen, and No. And one of the bullets was take a technology day off. What? What does that mean?
Yeah, that's like practice what you preach, sister girl, because I was so funny. Like my husband will tell you, like I used to always be on my phone when we were dating. But we are, you know, we can't go anywhere without these devices. And so now I find myself like intentionally, especially if I'm going, if I know where I'm going and I don't have to use it for GPS, if I'm like going to the store or, you know, going to the mall, leaving my phone at home because I'm not going to be gone that long. Somebody knows where I am. So if there's an emergency, you know, they could say, well, she said she was going to Jerry. She said she was going to Southdale. So someone could find me because even in our, even when we're out with people, we pick up our phones. I was at dinner last night with a couple girlfriends, and the one girl, she's an elder, and she said, ladies, let's leave our phones in our purse. And I said, yes, that's a good idea. We do not need to sit at this restaurant with our phones on the table. We're going to enjoy this company that we're having, this experience, this moment.
You'll be amazed at just taking that one step and how it can impact you in seizing that moment with your family, seizing that moment with that significant other, and or just taking time for yourself.
Developing that relationship, that number one relationship, right?
Talk to me, Jasmine. Talk there. I'm hearing you today. I'm hearing you. Awesome. Let's get through. Hopefully we can get through a couple of more. Another guideline, develop a gratitude practice. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
A gratitude. You know what? Wait. No, that's not one because we're getting down to the end.
Okay.
Forgive, free, and release yourself from the past. That's the one I want to get to.
Okay.
Forgive, free, and release yourself from the past. I found this to be most important because you stated make a list of the people and the experiences from the past, those that are keeping you from appreciating the present. Talk to the audience about that.
Well, didn't Erica Badu say bag lady, you know, let go of those bags? So I think that a lot of times we are carrying around people, past relationships, past regrets. Oh, I was so dumb. Why did I do that? Yeah, you made a mistake. We got to get over it. Oh my goodness. I thought I was going to, you know, do great on this presentation. I should have practiced for 3 more hours. No, you did your best. You let it go and you're going to do better the next time you present. We carry on around so many things. I mean, we're carrying around things from college. How long have you been out of college? 20 years, 15 years, 5 years, 1 year, but you're still carrying this experience around. And I think that's why so many people are seeking professional help, because therapists can really help you unpack some of these things that we have the tendency to carry around with us. And another thing, I said the relationship with self is important. Sometimes we have to be willing to forgive ourselves from the past. I know I had to forgive myself for some of my mistakes.
Dr. Stephen Covey talked about, even from a trusting standpoint, how can you trust others if you don't trust yourself? Mm-hmm. I have to first look to build that trust within before I can look in building trust and building relationships outside of me, right, shall I say. And it's interesting. These are all excellent points. Jasmine, I believe you have one more bullet from the executive director. Do you, or Charles? Charles wrote it.
Charles, yes. He loved the point about allowing yourself to dream, the chapter about allowing yourself to dream. And so we talked about that when we said, what prevents people from seizing their life? And I said, the lack of vision. And am I, keynote Seizure Life, I talk about the first step is to see it. And what better way to see it but in your dreams? Mm-hmm. You know, he mentioned that we are so busy going from project to project, from meeting to meeting, that we don't allow ourselves to dream. So maybe this is the assignment, if you don't mind me giving an assignment to your listeners, Phil.
Oh, they didn't know it was coming, but it's here now.
Okay. So we're gonna schedule some technology-free dates with self, and we're gonna allow ourselves to dream. And so maybe we go on a walk and we just, you know, engage with nature and allow nature to prompt some new thoughts, some new creative vibes, some new ideas, some new dreams in our mind. We listen to some different sounds of water, like Phil said, or maybe we just, you know, go to the park or sit on our deck or sit on our patio. But we're going to disconnect, but we're going to set the intention that we are opening our minds to new dreams and new ideas.
I'm loving
it. Put it on the calendar.
On the calendar it goes. Hey. It starts with you taking action. See, set it in the book. Definitely. All right. We're nearing the end of our session today, Jasmine. What a powerful session. And I love the fact that the audiences should take full advantage of seizing the day, carpe diem, seizing the day, seizing your life, seizing your moment. Take the next moment and be powerful in it, as I like to say. Jasmine, it's 2021, the end of 2021. You've written this book. Is there any final notes? Maybe you captured something new. I know we've been peeling from you quite a bit. You got about a minute remaining. One final thought you want to leave with the Network National audience in regards to seizing the day.
You know, one of the things that changed my life about 6 years ago is when a client asked me what my secret dream was. And I was like, I don't have a secret dream. And then I paused and I thought, and I went back to my childhood and I remembered my secret dream. And I was like, yeah, I used to play like news anchor. I want to do something on TV. Like what that looks like, I don't know. TV is changing, but I've manifested that dream. And I want to encourage everyone to reflect on their secret dream, because that's going to be the next book. What's your secret dream?
Love it. Love it. Looking forward to the next book that she's already shared with us, audience, her next project. We're looking to hear from her in the near future. Jasmine, thank you so much for wonderful moments, wonderful words from you, powerful leader, powerful woman, making a difference in many lives. Thank you, Network National, and we'll see you at the next Real Career Talk.
Thank you so much for having me, everyone. Happy holidays and have a wonderful new year, 2022.
Stay powerful.